Hi, Anna.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Good.
Okay, guys, so Anna is one of my very closest friends, and I wanted to have her do an interview with me first because she is a health and wellness director in a community-based setting. She's a certified personal trainer and a diabetes education specialist. So she has a ton of knowledge about health, wellness, exercise, nutrition, all that stuff. So we're going to go ahead and get started. I'm going to have her tell you guys a little bit about her background and how she got started in the position she's in now.
Hi, everybody. I hope you're having a good day. A little bit about myself. I went to get my bachelor's degree in health promotion, disease prevention with a minor in nutrition, and that's kind of what started my whole journey through health and fitness. I really found a passion for it because I was a collegiate athlete as well. I played soccer, so I was always really focused on health and wellness. And then I got more into diabetes because my father was diagnosed with diabetes as I was going through school, so that gained my interest so that I could also help him through his journey and make it easier on him to find some support and some easy ways to take care of his diabetes. So that's kind of what started my journey. I went to get my master's degree in physical education, sports, and fitness, and then I became a personal trainer and a certified diabetes educator. So that's what leads me to my current position now.
Okay, so what does a typical day in your job entail? Do you do the same thing every day, or what's the basic day in your job?
The really cool thing about being a health and wellness professional is that there's always something different every single day. Especially if you work with patients, you have different patients that have different health problems or maybe different goals even, or some people that may have a complicated disease such as diabetes or other people that just want to gain more muscle mass. So you always have a variety of people that you work with. I even work with children all the way to elders. So it's really great. I also coordinate a lot of events such as 5Ks and health fairs. So it's a lot of variety, so I really love what I do.
Yeah, that sounds fun. Okay, so first I wanted to get into the more food-based part of your job. Just in general, tell us what's your philosophy overall on eating and nutrition.
Well, my personal philosophy, and with all of my studies and other people that I've worked with, I've really gone with a very natural approach. It's no fad diet, just a knowledge and education-based approach where people will learn how to eat healthier every day of their lives. So it's more of a lifestyle approach rather than just a fad approach where you lose a bunch of weight and then you gain it back in a couple of weeks. My approach is more to go natural, exercise, fitness, nutrition, and really just make it a lifestyle change. And it doesn't have to be really, really expensive. You just have to stay very consistent and make goals to keep consistent doing little things every day.
Yeah, and I mean, I know that from being your friend. I feel like you're such a good example for everyone, and you really do. I mean, it kind of leads me to my next question, but I feel like you are someone who, as long as I've known you, you've always been pretty consistent. And so that's why the next question I kind of wanted to ask is, how do you eat in your personal life? Is it kind of the same as what you teach to your clients, or do you cheat a little more? Are you even more strict?
I like to think that I pretty much lead by example. Some days with myself, if I don't have to cook for other people, I may be a little more strict because I may not always eat for flavor. Sometimes I just eat for energy. So I just eat things that will be healthy for me, and they may not have a bunch of salt and pepper or garlic. I use garlic, but I'm other seasonings or high sodiums. It might just be something kind of plain and not as flavorful. So it's very nutritious and energy dense. So that's sometimes what I do for myself. Other times I do have cheat meals and I'll enjoy a pizza here and there with friends or some desserts. I just always try to get to know my patients and have them pick and choose what they really like and what they can kind of give up.
And then what would be your top tips for people who are kind of just getting into the nutrition space and haven't really paid much attention to what they're putting into their body until now? What are some easy things people can implement right away that won't take so much discipline or so much work?
I definitely think starting slow is something I always tell people. Start small. You don't have to throw all the junk food in your house away. You don't have to go really extreme. You don't have to make changes where you're only eating salad for every meal and water. I don't like anything too extreme. I like something that we can incorporate into your diet, into your lifestyle, that you can start off making a few small changes. Let's say someone drinks 5 sodas a day. I would say, okay, you can still drink your soda, but let's just have 2 to 3 sodas a day and start battling that and then work our way down.
Yeah, and that's good because I think that's like even me, you know, being a girl and whatever, going to college, and we're in Miami, so everyone looks good. But I think that's definitely something I've found in the past is when I, you know, sometimes when I'm trying to cut weight quick or whatnot, get ready for an event or something, I just plan to go all out, and that's probably actually when I mess up the most because I'm just too strict and then I rebel against my diet. So it's kind of pointless.
Yeah, and that happens to a lot of people is that they try to be too strict too fast and then they're like, oh, I failed. And rather than failing, you don't ever have to fail. You can just start slow, and then as you get one thing down, then you add another thing on. I also tell people to use a behavioral goal, something like I'm going to walk 10 minutes 5 days a week, or I'm going to only eat 1 cookie a day, or something along those lines, a behavioral goal, rather than your goal being I want a six-pack, and then you feel like you failed because you may not have a six-pack.
Okay, and then what are some of the top, I guess this might go along with what you were starting to say, but what are some of the big mistakes you see people make when it comes to their eating?
A lot of times I see people going to bad diets and processed foods. Mm-hmm. I always like to say if it doesn't have a mother or if it doesn't grow from the ground, you should probably eat it in small amounts. I like to stick with high protein, high fiber fruits and veggie diets. A lot of lean protein. One of the mistakes that I see people make is, like we were just talking about before, is being too strict too fast.
Okay. And then what about people who, they don't think they're eating healthy, like they're not trying to be healthy, but just like your average person, what are some of the things they're eating that they probably don't think are so bad, but they are? Maybe you mentioned soda. I feel like that's one thing is people forget to include liquid calories in their daily count of what they're actually consuming.
Definitely. Liquid calories, especially coffee drinks or teas with sugars and honeys in it, they can add up, and people forget that to add that in there because tea is healthy, but if you have 4 cups a day and you add a tablespoon of honey each time, they forget to add that sugar into their diet. And even though honey can be good for you, it's still a sugar, it's still a carbohydrate, so it still adds calories. I also see people that think, oh, this is healthy, I can eat the whole container. Not how it works either, because calories still add up, even if it's healthy calories.
That's a good point. I've definitely done that, too.
Yeah, I think
sometimes they say that some of the food that's, like, supposedly healthier, it actually, you want to eat more of it because whether it contains artificial sweeteners, because it's not full fat, you actually aren't as satisfied, so you wind up eating more. So it's kind of like you might as well have just eaten the real thing sometimes, right?
Yeah, definitely. I tell people, and that's why I like to get to know my patients very well so that I can kind of know their habits. I would suggest if they love dessert and they just absolutely can't give up brownies, I don't tell them they have to. I'll just tell them, okay, you can have like a 2 ounce portion, or, you know, maybe cut the brownie into a smaller piece and have the real thing. It's just a smaller portion of it, rather than trying to eat something that's, like you said, maybe lower calorie, lower fat, but then you eat more of it because you're not satisfied.
That makes sense. Okay. Now, moving more to the fitness side for now, what is your best advice? I know you might hate me for asking this question, but as women, I know all my listeners and readers of my blog are going to relate to this. If we have an event, say I have a wedding coming up in August, or I have a dress to fit in a month, what's your best advice for people that want to get in shape quickly, but, you know, we don't want to do anything totally crazy?
One of my best advices, even though it kind of goes against my lifestyle approach, if you want to do something, if you have a wedding and you do want to drop 5 to 10 pounds kind of quickly, I would recommend cutting all your sugar and processed foods. And when I say sugar, I don't mean fresh fruit, things that come in natural foods like fruits and veggies, but I mean your granola bars, your fruit snacks, or if you eat things that are processed, I would recommend getting rid of all processed food. Anything in a package, anything rice or roni, don't eat it. That'll really help you drop weight quickly, and you can do it for a short amount of time because you have a goal in sight. And then I also recommend replacing one meal a day with a protein shake. So you would make your shake and then you would skip that meal that day because that would be your meal replacement, would be your shake. Mm-hmm. And that way when people do shake, they tend to not overeat.
Okay, yeah. And I mean, the things you said, they sound doable. I wouldn't be like, oh man, this month's going to suck because I have to do that.
Yeah, as long as there's a goal at the end or light at the end of the tunnel, and then you can go back to kind of being a little bit more lenient.
Yeah, and I like what you said about the fruit, too, because I know that's something I've heard back and forth about over time, and fruit does have a lot of sugar, but at the same time, like you said, if it grows in the ground, you think it's okay for people to eat. And I remember one time I was at the Mac counter in the department store, and the lady said something about, now, I don't know if this is true, but she said something about, like, 30 grapes has as much sugar as a can of Coke, and I was thinking, well, really not the same. Like,
yeah,
I think I can still eat grapes.
And
okay,
some people
good.
Hear, there's a lot of myths about nutrition and fitness, and what I always recommend people is to look it up from a journal or a recommended source rather than just going off of Facebook or what people hearsay.
That's true, and I think there is so much fake information out there, and a lot of it I know from my work marketing, people unfortunately just falsify information to make whatever they're trying to profit off of look better. So.
Definitely.
What do you think, I know I've heard the 80-20 comparison a lot, but what do you think, as far as being in shape and feeling good in our bodies, what balance of diet and exercise would you say is a good balance? You know, I've heard 80% what you eat and 20% exercise affects how you feel, but what do you think about that?
Well, I don't have any scientific evidence for my opinion, but my opinion is probably, I agree with the 80-20 rule that your nutrition has a lot to do with what you're putting in your body. It really affects your outcome of your weight. And your exercise also helps because you're burning calories. But what people fail to realize sometimes with exercise is, let's say I walked on the treadmill for 30 minutes, I probably only burned about 100 to 150 calories. And one banana is 100 calories. It takes a lot, when you go overboard with the calories, it takes a lot of effort to burn that off.
Right, and like there's people I've seen, like different famous athletes, I won't name names, but I know there's one that we have locally who always says, oh, you can eat whatever you want as long as you work out. And, you know, sometimes supermodels will say that too. Oh, yeah, I eat anything I want, I just work out. And for me, I know personally, I could work out as hard as I want, but if I'm not eating well, I don't really think I look any differently.
Yeah, and that's what the thing about all of us as individuals is our genetic makeup is all different too. So some people are naturally more muscular, and some people are naturally, it takes them longer to build muscle, or they may put fat on a little bit easier than others. And unfortunately, that part's not fair, but you have to really learn your body and tune into who you are and really listen to your body and see what types of food you give your body and how it affects you personally. And to know like what you like and what you don't like, what you can kind of give up. I like chips, but I don't need chips, so then I try to give chips up, you know, things like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's true. Yeah, and sometimes it's not fair, and I've learned, you know, now that I'm getting older, some of the people that I saw, for example, in high school, they were always just so thin. Like, they would eat the most crap, always getting fast food, and I would always think, how are they so skinny? But then now I see them, and I'm like, wow, it really caught up. So I know sometimes having good genetics is even a little dangerous, because if you look good, you just assume that your health is okay, but sometimes, you know, you might have super high cholesterol, but you look fit, so you don't need to even check on those things for yourself.
Exactly. And I always recommend before people start an exercise program, if they do have some health risk factors, that they see their doctor to get cleared before they start their exercise program. And I don't mean walking, but I mean more intense sports or weightlifting programs. They should probably get checked out if they do have certain diseases or any health problems or like heart murmurs or anything like that.
It's always better to be safe, right?
Definitely. Better be safe than sorry. But any regular daily activities like sitting down, walking, I think anybody can start with that.
Right. You'll know if you feel short-winded or if you feel pain, then you can go to the doctor.
Definitely.
Okay. What do you think about meal prep? Is that something you personally do? I know it's kind of not really a fad, but it's become more and more popular and people are taking time to plan out their meals ahead in hopes that they won't make poor choices due to being unprepared. So do you have any meal prep tips for us or any advice as far as how people can meal prep to accommodate a busy lifestyle?
Yes, I do. There's actually a lot of fitness professionals and fitness models that's their whole life and that's their whole career is to be in shape and look good. And you always hear them talking about, oh, measuring your macros and measure 6 ounces of this. And as a regular everyday person, that can get a little bit frustrating because you feel so intimidated by all of the lingo.
Yeah,
but
I have no idea what those things mean.
Yeah. because people will say, oh, eat to your macros, and macros are your proteins, your fat, and your carbohydrates. But I try to just keep it simple with people. Like I said, I like people to feel comfortable, and I don't want them to feel intimidated and feeling like they're going to fail. So I'll tell them, yes, meal prep can be a good idea if you like to eat food that's heated back up and warmed back up, possibly in the microwave. And if you're a person who doesn't like to eat the same thing over and over, I really wouldn't recommend it. But I do like meal prep in a lot of ways because it saves people time and you don't have to think about what you're going to eat because you've already planned it or you've already made it on, let's say, Sunday, and you've already made your meals for the week. So you just put them in the refrigerator, heat them up, you can take them with you. There's been times where I've done meal prep and I have to go to a basketball game, so I don't have time after work. I maybe have like 10 minutes to stop and change and go to my game. So what I'll do is I'll just put the meal prep that I've made in the microwave and heat it up and eat it as I go on the way there.
Yeah.
It just makes it easier to eat healthy because sometimes even when you think you're eating healthier fast food or healthier options that may be out there, sometimes it's still not as healthy as what you could cook on your own. So I like meal prep when it's appropriate. And I think that people that have the lifestyle that enjoy the food, they should definitely do meal prep.
And then switching gears a little, what do you think, especially in the social media day and age, and, you know, being that I have a blog, I'm very familiar with the influence of the influencer on social media. There's so many people that we see pushing. First, it was waist trainers were huge, and then everyone's selling these detox teas, and now we're seeing a lot of meal delivery service, which, granted, I don't think is so bad, but what are your thoughts on all the kind of social media diet fads and exercise fads that we see? Are there any that you like, or what do you want people to know are just scams that they should stay away from? What do you think of all of them?
Well, firstly, with the meal prep, I definitely like the idea, and I think it's great if you have the money and you would like to do that. I think you definitely should, because it can be very helpful, because you don't have to go grocery shopping for your meals. You can just go for snacks, and it really helps people stay on track if they're having a hard time or if they maybe have an addiction to food where they can't stop if they see it. So it's very good because it's already portioned out for you. I really like that. I absolutely hate the waist trainers. I think they are the biggest scam because if you think about it, you're just pressing something onto your body. If you think pressing something onto your body is going to make you change the way your shape is, it seems a little bit ridiculous to me. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, yeah, and there's also the rumor out there that they're actually really bad for your internal organs.
Yeah, because if you think about, even if you wear a belt too tight, you want to loosen it because you're like, oh, I can't, like, it hurts. And so think about these women that are wearing these waist trainers that are trying to push their organs and their fat and their
yeah,
lungs,
like, where
even
is
their
it
rib
going?
Cage. Yeah.
Not
so,
disappearing.
Yeah, it won't disappear at all. I mean, if anything, it may just make your waist look smaller if you were to wear a dress or something. But I definitely do not recommend waist trainers to any of my patients. I think they're the biggest scam out there.
Yeah, and I mean, to be honest, I haven't seen them in a while. I feel like it was a big trend and all the Kardashians were pushing them, but I feel like it has kind of faded off, so hopefully that's good.
And if you notice the advertisements and the people wearing them, they already looked great. So it definitely wasn't the waist trainer that had them shaping like that. I mean, they already
that's
looked
true.
Good.
Yeah, good point. Okay.
What was the other one?
Oh, the flat tummy teas and all the detox drinks and that type of stuff.
Oh, yeah, the detox. Everything with the detox drives me nuts. Your body has two kidneys if you don't have a disease or if you haven't donated one to somebody. Mm-hmm. And your body has a liver. So that is what your body does on its own, is it detoxes itself with those organs. So detox teas, unless you're trying to use it to go to the bathroom, where I suggested the high fiber diet, where you will get more bang for your buck eating higher fiber foods than you would drinking a tea, because there's no fiber in tea.
Right, and I don't know, I've never looked into it, but I'm guessing these teas are probably a lot more expensive than your normal tea you would buy, so it's probably cheaper just to eat normal fiber foods that you would have around anyway.
Exactly, and a lot of fruits and vegetables have a lot of fiber. There's even products now that have fortified fiber in them. So you can buy tortillas that look white, but they're very high in fiber. So there's a lot of different products now that they have where if you do have an issue with fiber, it's very, very easy to incorporate that into your diet. And that would be better if you're trying to get a bowel movement to detox yourself that way with natural food rather than trying to use a tea. I don't really understand how a tea will help detox your body.
I also don't like juicing diets at all. I think that's
bad.
Yeah,
I was going to ask you that next.
Like I said, I try not to be discouraging with some of these things, but I think if you just stick to the basics, it's going to work the best, and it will give you the best results for forever.
Okay. What can you tell everyone about supplements? So pills and powders and everything people can buy at GNC or even at the drugstore, but which ones do you think are most necessary for women our age? If someone is new to taking supplements at all, which basic would you recommend people to pay attention to first?
There's a lot of different theories about supplements, and I do like supplements. I take supplements myself. However, there's so many out there that it can be intimidating. And like I said, it's the patient-by-patient basis of what I would recommend for certain people. So you have to try to evaluate your own life and see what would work best for you. But in general, I always recommend that people take a probiotic, a multivitamin, and for women, a calcium supplement. So that would be like the lowest level of vitamins I recommend for people. I also like people to have at home a good whey protein. If it's plant-based or if it's not plant-based, even organic would be the better option. But whey protein is very helpful because you can put your protein in your shakes. Like I said, if you wanted to drop weight and you replace a meal with a protein shake, you would need to have that powdered protein at home to add into your shake.
Perfect. What are, this is a more personal question, but what are your goals as far as the future? Do you want to stay in the health industry? Is there anything you have in mind that you want to learn more about, or, you know, any other certifications you want to get or anything you want to get more involved in? What do you see in the future?
I definitely think I'll be in the health field for the rest of my life because I just find it very interesting, and there's always something new to learn. Everything with fitness and nutrition and the human body is just really great because a lot of diseases and a lot of issues that people have with their life can be cured or assisted or made better with healthy diet, exercise, supplements, just getting yourself on the right track in order to solve those problems. Even with diabetes, a lot of my job is just teaching people how to manage their blood sugar. And it's just really great when they finally get it and they finally click with them and then their blood sugar numbers are dropping, their diabetes is improving, they feel better, you know, they may not have as many complications, so they're getting up and walking more, they're enjoying life with their family, because if you don't have your health, you don't really feel like doing anything.
Yeah, so your job is actually probably very rewarding, especially the fact that you work in a community setting. You get to see the same people often, so you get to really see how their life has changed and how they improve, and you get to keep, like, a relationship with them, right?
Definitely, and that's what's really great about it is when somebody actually takes you and your advice seriously and makes the changes and you see how it benefits them. It takes a while for them to catch on, though, because it's not a fad. It's not something where you can just snap and see it. You know, it takes a little bit of time to see it because a lot of things, too, which I like to work on is prevention. I mean, it's hard to measure something you prevented. You know, like, oh, I prevented this person from getting diabetes. You'll never know that because it never happened in the first place.
Right, yeah.
But I like to do a lot of preventative wellness and health and just getting people to be the best versions of themselves that they can be. I know that sounds a little bit corny or people say that, but it's really getting people to be happy with themselves and happy with their lifestyle.
Yeah, I think that's very true because I'm learning more now. Really, everything in your life is affected by you. And I know so many people that when they have kids, they kind of let a lot of things personally fall down. And then they realize, I think you should always put yourself first. And I think sometimes you might think that's selfish, but really you have to put yourself first because if you are the best you, like you're saying, then you're going to be the best mom, the best friend, the best daughter, the best sister, the best employee. Even just when I get 1 hour less of sleep than I know I need for my body at night, I know I don't do as much work as I could. I'm probably not as nice to my friends and family and my relationships because I'm cranky. So
And just think if you had an ongoing health complication that is nagging you every single day and you don't feel like working out. You know, I can understand that. And that's where I say start slow. Let's tackle one issue at a time. And then before you know it, they're staying consistent. Let's say your goal is 10 minutes, 3 days a week, because right now you don't do anything. That's nothing. You know, you can get out and take 10 minutes of your time for you. Even if you are a mom, you can walk in place in your living room or in your house or do some burpees or jumping jacks. Just something. Just move a little bit every single day or as much as you can.
Definitely. So I'm going to just tie this all up. Readers of my blog who are now listening, do you guys have any questions for Anna, or you want to ask a follow-up question about anything she said, feel free to leave a comment on this blog post, and I will get your answer for you and reply back. Also, Anna, I'll let her speak on it, but she's planning to create an Instagram account pretty soon to share more tips like what she was sharing with us today. So as soon as we have the details and she has it up and running, I'm going to add that to this post, and I will link it on all my social media so you guys can go ahead and follow her there, and that way you can get more tips because she has so much information. We obviously only got to 1% of it probably on this interview, but like I said, you can get more tips from her and you can communicate with her directly and ask her your own questions there. Did you have anything you wanted to add about that?
No, I just wanted to thank you all for listening. And like Nicole said, if you have any questions, just leave them for her, and then I'll get back to you.
Yeah, you guys, Anna is so helpful. I ask her questions all the time, and the great thing about her is that she's, like you probably gathered from this interview, she makes everything seem really doable, and she's not this cutthroat person you would see on the TV weight loss challenge. She's very realistic and makes things achievable and helps you really feel comfortable that you can totally do whatever it is you want to do. So,
yeah,
Anna, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for being my first interview. Maybe when we get things going, if we have any kind of more specific topics, maybe I'll have you back to talk about something even more specific. But
yeah,
I think
good.
It was really fun. Okay, awesome. Well, thank you again, and I'll talk to you later.